Good morning. You're listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome and good morning. I'm Harry Miller.
Good morning. I'm Dave Kabikian.
Morning, Dave.
How are you, Harry?
Good. Dave and I are two of the attorneys with the Herzog Law Firm. We are over at Corporate Woods on 7 South Woods Boulevard. We're also in Saratoga Springs at 47 West Harrison Street. And yesterday I was down in our Kingston office, which is now conveniently located at 1151 Flatbush Avenue.
You could take a very small plane to it.
You actually could have your own plane. You can land in our parking lot. The Ulster County Airport is just skip, and a jump from our office.
Or, you know, a helicopter, whatever.
I don't know if we have any clients that have their own planes.
I don't think so.
Not that I'm aware of. No. Anyway, we're here each Saturday morning to talk to you, to answer your questions primarily about wills, trusts, estate planning, elder law, asset protection planning, accessing home care, stuff to do with your IRAs, your beneficiary designations, all that good stuff. Remember, we're getting, it's January now, and people who haven't taken out last year's, you know, you got to take out your minimum RMD by, what, April 15th, I think, by the time the tax return is due. So, you know, we all think about that stuff, too.
You know, those dates may change depending on... There are
the IRS isn't working right now, so I don't know. It's hard to say with all the furloughed employees whether anything's actually getting done. Probably not, because they're not. But you know, hopefully that will end soon.
It's an interesting time right now, Harry. Because
the Chinese curse: may you live in interesting times. It was not a blessing; it was a curse.
Well, you know, so every time. At least I'm on the radio. I'll go to a couple different websites to their your money, quote unquote, your money sections to see what if there are any articles that are worth talking about. And if this is a sign of what's going on, here are some titles of articles: How to Handle a Painfully Unpredictable Market.
It certainly has been the last couple of weeks.
How about this one? Even the rich need advice on budgeting, right? Do you still keep money under your mattress? How to dodge a market dip that threatens your retirement. It's that kind of. Unpredictable time, and it's cold, and it's not very fun to walk out.
It's kind of a depressing winter so far. Anyway, if you have a question, we'd love to chat with you this morning. Call up and say hi. We're at 518-476-5900.
Harry. The point I was trying to make, though, is, that stuff's exterior. Right, that's how the market's doing, how these mutual funds are doing, stuff like that. What does not depend on the markets, right? What doesn't change if it's a good market or a bad market is how you're going to take care of your loved one or that stuff. That's a constant, no matter what economy
it is. It is. As they say, life goes on, and without regard to market fluctuations, without regard, frankly, to whether or not the government is open or closed, people have life experiences. They are born, they get married, they get divorced, they die, they go into nursing homes, they need home care, they have family members whose lives change, and it is totally impervious to external events in that sense, economic events, international events, or all of those things. So, without regard to that, you really got to think about this stuff. It's the new year.
It doesn't go away.
No.
It doesn't go away at all.
And what is astonishingly common among most people is procrastination in estate planning.
That was my major in college. And
procrastination.
I also minored in it. So it was one of these weird major minors in the same topic. Yeah. If I had, one of those, if you had a book report or you had some sort of assignment due, not only the work, but the best work will take place the day or two before.
Stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning the day the paper was due, right?
We do have a caller, Chester in Utica. Good morning, Chester.
Good morning.
How are you?
Can you hear me all right?
You're loud and clear. Thank you.
Okay, my question is, there's an attorney here in Utica advertising, is there a new type of irrevocable trust on the market now, where the person does not lose the control of the money?
So I'm gonna pick on one word you used, which is new. So there is a trust like that, and we specialize in trusts like that, where it is irrevocable, quote unquote irrevocable for certain purposes, but you still have the ability to amend certain provisions of the trust. You have the ability to, in some cases, access money via those amendments. And so, you know, if you for years and years thought irrevocable means you can't change it, you can't touch it, it will sound like a new trust. But it's been around for quite a while. We've been doing at Herzog for decades, Harry, right?
Yeah, they're not new. I mean, they've been around.
Yeah.
Now, you have to be very careful because there certainly are trusts that the person whose money it is has complete control over, and they may or may not be the beneficiary of the trust.
Yeah.
The kinds of trusts we stress and talk about a lot here on the radio, though, are trusts that will insulate and protect your assets that are inside the trust from having to be exposed to creditors' claims, including the payment of nursing home bills or reimbursing Medicaid. And there you have to be very, very careful because you must give up at least some... You really have to give up direct control, in a sense. But you can, you know, you can reacquire it over time. So you can't... If you can simply walk into the bank or the brokerage firm and withdraw all the money without anyone else's signature, the trustee, then that's not going to protect the asset from creditors.
Okay.
Now, there are indirect ways in which you can reacquire the money or have access to it. And maybe that's what, I don't know who the, you know, with the ad. It would be fun if you can send us the ad. I'd like to see it because we don't get the Utica papers here in Albany. Yeah.
Well, he's on TV.
Wow. Huh?
So Chester, let me ask you that ad. So what are some of the other words that they talk about? Do they talk about long-term care? Do they talk about nursing homes, Medicaid?
Protecting your assets against nursing homes.
Yeah.
The key words that he uses on the television ad on WKTV Utica is you don't lose control of your of your assets, meaning you're bypassing the trustee.
Well,
he's having a seminar.
Yep. Oh, good.
His name is David Zampano.
Oh, very good. Well, you know, so the thing is with, bypassing trustees, well, the way that we do our trusts, the creator of the trust, the settlor, quote unquote, will have the ability of changing the trustee. So we'll always need someone called the trustee when it comes to taking out large sums of money from the trust, but you will always control who that person is. And so that's kind of the roundabout control that you have. I'm glad you mentioned seminars because if you're sitting in your car and you're at home and you're thinking, well, Utica seminars sound great. We do have seminars coming up this coming week.
Next week.
In the Capital Region. So if, for example, you feel like going to the Staybridge Suites in Albany, 39 Wolf Road, on Tuesday, January 15th, so this coming Tuesday at 2 p.m., we're going to be right outside Colony Center, well, inside a hotel, and we're not going to be standing outside. It's going to be cold, Harry.
It's going
to be very cold. The computer might not work.
Across from Macy's.
Staybridge Suites in Albany, right next to Macy's, January 15th, 2 p.m. Wednesday, the next day, so this coming Wednesday at 2 p.m., we're going to be at the Glenn Sanders Mansion in Scotia. That's 1 Glen Avenue. Great cookies there. Thursday, January 17th, so this coming Thursday at 10 a.m., we're going to be right outside of SUNY, 1455 Washington Avenue. It's a courtyard by Marriott. We've been there for quite a while. And then Thursday, again, in the afternoon, we're going to be up above the Twin Bridges. We'll be in Clifton Park at the Hampton Inn, 620 Plank Road. If you want to really wait a little longer, January 31st, the Thursday at 2 p.m., we're going to be down in Kingston at the Courtyard by Marriott right next to the Kingston Mall. That's 500 Frank Sotal Boulevard. So the topic we're going to be talking about in this round of seminars is going to be everything from healthcare proxies and powers of attorney through wills, trusts, different kinds of trusts, and then the long-term care component, Medicaid trusts. And lastly, crisis planning. So it's a lot of stuff, and there is no substitute in my mind. You can't listen to the radio. You can't do anything but either come in for a consult or come to one of our seminars to get this information. And we do have another caller, Bess in Gilderland. Good morning, Bess.
Good morning.
How are you?
I have a question about executors and power of attorney. if I would like to change one or both of them, you talk about having a trusted family member or a family member that has the ability to do these jobs. But if I should reexamine all the people I've already picked and want to change and perhaps go to someone whom I don't know from a bank or from my attorney's office, I'd like to think that I can trust that individual to act on my behalf and take care of my affairs and follow my directions and save my money or spend it as directed. I have uncomfortable feelings as to picking a stranger, and does this usually work out okay in the dynamic of picking a person whom I don't know or having someone chosen for me? Well, I'm skeptical about picking someone whom I don't know, if it should come to that.
I would be as well. Well, I have a couple of thoughts, and I'm really interested to see what Harry's thoughts would be as well. So in my mind, there's two parts to it, right? There's competency to do the job, right? So whoever you name as your executor, they're not going to use their brain too many times to figure out what you may have wanted and who gets what. You're going to have a will that says, I give everything as to Ben, or you're going to give everything to Harry or I or whoever. And that's the job of the executor. So you need someone that's going to be able to do it and hire the right help, whether it's an attorney, an accountant, whoever. With the power of attorney, not only is it that, but, you know, we typically don't have our powers of attorney get paid. It's usually family members. And so if it's going to be an attorney, if it's going to be a bank or a professional trustee, you know, their job is still the same. They still have a fiduciary duty to you, and they got to, you know, act in your best interest and so on. But they're probably going to want to get compensated for it. So that's a thought as well. I mean, Harry, I've never really had a third party non-attorney be a power of attorney. People have asked me if I'll be a backup, and I've politely said no.
Well, people sometimes, I mean, there are rare occurrences where someone doesn't have any immediate family members, and they have a close personal friend. You know, somebody's sort of looked out for them or then lived next door to them or across the street for 30 years. And sometimes those people will agree to do that. I mean, the problem is the person who's agreeing is assuming liability to, you know, to act properly, obviously, and also has to account to not only the person who's giving the power of attorney, but to their heirs and beneficiaries down the road if they want an accounting of what they've done with the person's money while they're alive. I have a personal I don't like using institutional trustees and executors.
Yeah.
First of all, it's a real problem these days, unless you have a lot of money, to get a bank to be your trustee or executor. Many banks have a minimum threshold of $500,000 is a very low minimum threshold. If you're a regional bank, probably $1 million to $3 million would be a minimum threshold. Frankly, most people don't have that kind of assets that are going to be managed by an institutional trustee. Lawyers across the board, I mean, in our law firm, we generally do not act as a fiduciary for our clients,
yeah.
All right? Other than our family members and things like that, we've had an internal policy not to act as executor or a trustee because, frankly, it sets up a possible conflict, especially if we're doing the legal work, because we're kind of representing ourselves. I mean, there's an inherent a problem in that. There are other law firms I've seen where they routinely name themselves. You know, I think that's not a good idea either.
Yeah.
So if there's a family member, yeah, that's somebody. But, you know, most of the time that works really well. And frankly, the law firm that they hire is going to do most of the work anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Bess, I have a question, comment for you. So, you know, first of all, you don't have to have the power of attorney agent and the executor be the same person, just so
right.
You know. And, you know, the power of attorney, sometimes it's, you know, being able to do some estate planning. You know, a power of attorney agent with the right powers can create a trust, can help you qualify for Medicaid, can help preserve assets.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they have to go pay the National Grid bill for you and sign the check and do some minor banking.
Right.
And, you know, it's nice to have an attorney or a professional do that, but it's in practice, it's going to be really hard for those components of the job mm-hmm. description to take place.
I'm even thinking of grandchildren, too. Of course, they're too young now, but I should live another 20 years. They come of age. I don't know if it'll be 18 or 21. But then again, I'm thinking, well, you don't know where that child will be in 20 years, 18 years. They might not be locally available to carry out those duties, so...
Right, that's why you got to look at that. You got to revisit your estate plan about every 5 years and see if those are still the most appropriate people to do it. And I mean, changing them is relatively simple. You know, if you will name someone as executor and trustee, you want to change it. You know, it's very simple and inexpensive to do that. But certainly, if you haven't, the people that you have in your will, hopefully, you've had a conversation with them. And talk to them about doing it and make sure that they're willing to undertake the responsibility.
Okay? Right.
Sometimes people just put somebody in the will and then they've never actually told them that they're the power of attorney or, you know, so I don't think that's a good idea because some people just don't want to assume that responsibility. Others are perfectly comfortable doing it.
Well, Bess, listen, thanks so much for the call. If you want to talk more
about
it, though, we're happy to have you come to the office. You know, we do these free consults. We're happy to talk through. It's not as simple as what we're saying. There's a lot of other factors. What kinds of assets? What kind of plan do you have? So we'd love to talk to you in the office. And thanks so much for your call.
You're welcome. Bye.
You know, Harry, on that, I've had a lot of people who they just assume they can't pick someone older than them. No, I'm not going to pick my older brother. He's 4 years older than me. So when I'm 80, he's going to be 84, right? And it's like, well, you're not 80 now. You're doing fine, and he's doing fine, and you just have a lot of backups. But always pick the best people for tomorrow.
Pick the brother. If you get down the road and the brother either has predeceased you, or is incompetent, or just too old and doesn't want to do it. We want you to have one or two alternate backups, as David said. Yeah. And maybe that's your brother's daughter or a niece or a nephew. I mean, if you're setting up a trust that's going to go on for a long time, you know, beyond your death, and whoever the beneficiaries are, ideally you want a trustee who's going to outlive the beneficiaries. Okay? And so that's something we all... You know, when you come in and we sit down and have an appointment, we talk about those things and we analyze those things. And we look at your family, or you're going to look at your family members. We're just going to ask the questions because you know them. We don't. And you'll say, my youngest son is, oh, no, definitely not him. You know, or you know, my daughter says, okay, well, yeah, she'd be okay, but her husband would be running the thing, and I don't want that either. So you got to look at the dynamics of your own family in picking these people.
Well, you know, the job that they do, and, you know, well, you know, I can't find a trustee, so I'm not going to do a trust. That's not a very good reason to not do a trust. These documents are terribly important because presumably you're thinking about it because you acknowledge one day you're not going to be here or one day you're going to get older. And presumably you want to save money along the way. So you got to do, you know, the best person for the job at that moment, you know, that works.
Definitely.
So we have two great callers. We'd love a third at 518-476-5900 or toll free at 1-800-WROW-590. Harry, I had a client this past week and conveniently we're on the radio now so I could talk about it. But they were a great example of how the process works. So the client and her husband were referred to us. She was actually going to a chiropractor's office very frequently. And the chiropractor who knows me said, hey, talk to her and said, what's going on? You're super tense, super stressed. And she was so because she was helping take care of her husband and it was getting to be too much.
Physically. Well, lifting, turning, you can tear a rotator cuff, you can dislocate.
Everything, the mental concern, right? She couldn't relax. And so she came in and we did our thing where we helped get her husband qualified for Medicaid and care at home and all that stuff and relieved her. She's a totally different person. And unfortunately, a couple weeks ago, her husband did pass away. And so, you know, obviously grieving and stuff like that. But when the time was right for her, she came back in. And we then focused our attention on her. She's a decent amount younger than him. So the focus was, okay, it's not that we're all clear now. Let's try to, you know, our planning for her husband was so easy because she existed. She was a spouse. And we were able to maneuver assets because of that quite easily.
Now she's a widow.
Now she's a widow. She does not have a spouse herself, so the planning's a little different. We're setting up a trust for her to protect her for 5 years down the road for herself, getting her kids involved as fiduciaries and things like that. And it just in this one, you know, encounter with the client, it really shows this full circle. And there's not a lot of time to wallow in, you know, sorrow. We have to then turn our attention to planning for the next generation or the surviving spouse. And the math is totally different compared to if you have a spouse or not.
Absolutely. But, you know, because life is a continuum and it changes over time. And then you have to take what was an effective, comprehensive estate plan for a married couple, and you have to reweave it into one that works for a younger widow who has, you know, children, other family issues, and wants to make sure, I mean, we want to make sure when we have a surviving spouse, when we're handling the estate of the spouse who died, one of the first things we talk about is whether you have sufficient current income. Because when a spouse dies, one of the two Social Securities is going to go away, all right? So you're getting two Social Security checks. Now the lower is going to go away. The widow or the widow will get the higher of the two, but not both. Very often, people have state or private company pension plans. Some of them roll the dice and take the single life annuity, all right?
So that...
And for men, I think that's foolish. But I'm not a financial advisor. Well, that those guys are coming on 9 o'clock. Dave Kofak.
Harry, for a second, though, just so people... Because some people may... their eyes already went to the back of their head. So a single life annuity, right? That kind of pension means you're maxing out the payment... But it ends at his measuring
when
line.
When the pensioner dies, the pension stops.
Yeah.
And if it's a male, I mean, at least statistically, the women outlive men by a lot and statistically. It's not always true, but it's true more often than not. And so if you're a male picking the single life annuity, it's going to stop for your widow. I mean, and then there are different kinds. I was looking at a pension plan yesterday for a client in our Kingston office, who's retiring later this year. And there are pop-ups like the state have where you can continue the full benefit for the surviving spouse or 75% of it or 50% of it for the surviving spouse. So, you know, when you're doing your estate plan, you got to look at all those things, particularly if you're retiring, because once you make an election, once you select something, you're stuck with it. You can't change it down the road. So that's the kind of stuff that we focus on in our estate planning practice. You know, we do, and I guess that's what, you know, elder law attorneys don't just draft legal papers. We don't just draft wills and trusts and powers of attorney. That's what we do, and the paperwork is what most people remember, but it's the overall development of a plan that makes sense not only financially, but from the standpoint of the dynamics of your family members, because every family has issues. I've never met one that's perfect. Although maybe people think they
are. Yeah, no, I don't think there are. You know, another example of this, I guess, is, so I met with a couple down in Kingston, and we talked about trusts, and based on their stats, right, their family tree and the assets they have and the type of assets they have, which we can protect, mm-hmm, based on their age. Trust sounds like a good idea. They thought about it, said, yep, let's move forward. Let's get together. Actually, this coming Wednesday, I'm going to see them, or I was going to see them. And then at about 6 o'clock this morning, mm-hmm, hopefully he wasn't up, you know, in the middle of the night thinking about it, but he sent me, I don't know if we could do this. Sorry for any inconvenience. And I wrote back, you know, at 7, don't worry about it. But listen, if you want to come in and let's figure this out, so you're 100% doing it or not doing it, so you don't have to go back and forth in your brain about it or go back and forth with your spouse about it. There's a lot of moving parts. It's not a very simple yes or no thing. And if I could just give them some more clarity, mm-hmm, you know, that helps a lot too.
It is. People are, you know, they're standoffish about lawyers sometimes. People are, people are.
I say, come on.
Oh, well, it's a normal
thing. Just a couple guys,
you know,
here.
We're not everybody's favorite provider. No, I'm sorry. But most people don't enjoy going to the lawyer's office. But it's usually still better than going to the dentist, you know. But you know, there's a sense that every time the lawyer opens his mouth or says something, you know, cha-ching, you're running up a bill.
Yeah.
And we have to stress the fact that when we have initial consultations with folks, we do not charge you. You are not going to get a bill for an initial consultation, period. I mean, if you hire us to do something, yes, we're going to send you a bill. But you're going to know how much the bill is going to be before you're, you know, and agree to it before we do any work for you.
And you won't hear a cha-ching. We put a mute button on the register. You're not going to hear that at all. Come on.
476-5900. We're going to a break in a minute or two.
About 2 minutes.
A couple
of
minutes. So 476.
I got time for a quick joke, if I may.
My heavens.
All right. Ben, you ready for this? So this is
ready.
I was out west, and my great uncle, who's not doing well at all, told me this joke. He's as sharp as a tack, but physically just very, very limited. So here's a joke. Husband and wife, very elderly, they go to a doctor because they can't remember anything anymore. They're losing their. They can't remember what the other one said a minute ago. The doctor says, listen, it looks like there's a lot of age-related memory loss, and there's not a lot I can do. There's some medicine here. But I urge you, write down things so that way you can see it and not forget it. Mm-hmm. Say, sounds good, doctor. Thank you. They hear the cha-ching there, Harry, just so you know.
it's covered by Medicare.
Yeah. So they go home. Husband and wife go home. They are getting ready for bed, and the wife says to husband, honey, you know, I'd really like a vanilla ice cream. He says, okay, starts walking out the door. And she says, honey, aren't you going to write it down? The doctor said, write it down. He said, honey, I got it. Vanilla ice cream. And she says, with chocolate sprinkles. Okay, yeah, no problem. Walks out there. Honey, you got to write this down. You're going to forget it. I got it. Vanilla, chocolate sprinkles, no problem. And I want strawberries. Okay. Starts walking out the door. Says, sweetheart, love of my life, you have to write this down. You're going to forget this. Says, I got it. Vanilla, chocolate sprinkles, strawberries. We're good. Goes downstairs. 10 minutes later, he comes up with two scrambled eggs. And the wife looks at him, says, what are you doing? Where's the toast? We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, and Flatbush Road in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, Harry, or Debbie, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office at 518-581-8131 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help you navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And here we are. Welcome back. I'm Harry Miller.
Good morning. I'm Dave Kubikin.
Dave and I are two of the attorneys. We're with the Herzog Law Firm over in Corporate Woods. We're also located in Kingston, New York, and Saratoga Springs. We've got three offices. We cover the Mid-Hudson Valley all the way up to... And welcome also. We've got our North Country listeners who joined
Absolutely.
Us last week or the week before up in... 1410 AM and 96.9 FM. Mm-hmm. So up in Glens Falls, Lake George area. If you're new to the show, we practice estate planning, elder law, Medicaid asset protection planning, and all those good things. And this is a legal talk show about areas of concern and questions you have related to estate planning and estate administration, taxes and beneficiaries, IRAs, all that good stuff.
Occasional sports.
Occasional sports.
Occasional sports.
Occasional.
Mookie Betts is going to make some money next year. I don't know if you heard.
The Mets. You're a Mets fan. No, right?
I am, but he's a Red Sox.
And, yeah, I am.
And Ben is a Red Sox fan. One year, right. $20 million. Not a bad gig if you can get it.
That's right.
Sometimes politics, although we try to stay away from it.
We have no public opinions about it.
Well, we don't, but, you know, the thing is, people read stories, and stories scare the heck out of people sometimes. I remember a couple years ago when we were having actual clients come in and saying, what is going to be the impact on Medicaid in New York if this or that passes? And so
people ask me that all the time. With this, all this stuff is dismantling Obamacare that's been going on for the last 2 years at the federal level. I mean, at this point, it does not have any impact currently on institutional Medicaid or home care in New York. But it, in the future, it could. I mean, right at this point, nothing that affects it has been passed. We don't know what else will be. You know, this current government shutdown is going to have a burgeoning ballooning effect if it goes on for another couple of weeks or longer. Because, I mean, just with things like income taxes, you know, most of the IRS is furloughed or shut down. Yeah. I guess, although they're not certainly doubting the legal authority to do it, the administration has announced that, contrary to previous practice, you have to pay your taxes on April 15th, but the government isn't currently issuing any refunds to anybody. So yeah. You got to pay, but you don't get your refund. They've announced now that they actually are going to issue refunds, although there's some question as to whether there's any legal authority to do that. So, and yeah. As with everything these days, hey, it's going to court. It's going to be litigated, decided by some judge.
Right? Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, we do our best to stay on top of these things. We get those calls, just like a financial advisor is going to get a call when the market dips 400 points. We get calls right. When clients are concerned with what they're hearing. Every year, our clients already know this, but for our non-clients out there, every year we do a client appreciation event. We do three of them. And we talk about a number of different topics. Some are off topic a little bit, but related to what we do. And as long as I've been at the firm, I know, Harry, you've done a tax update. And I know you don't necessarily enjoy that part of the presentation. But it's important. People need to know. They need to know, you know, the different rates out there.
Jane Marie and I are kind of the tax nerds in the office. And you're still going to have to take your RMD, even if the government shut down, So you're not excused from doing that.
Life goes on.
A couple of years ago, there was an excusal. There was one year they excused the RMD. I forget. It might have been back in 2010. I don't remember even what the reason is. Doesn't matter. But 476-5900 is our number here at Magic 590. If you have a question on your mind or you'd like to call in, you know, just chat with us for a few minutes, 518-476-5900. Go ahead.
Yeah, Harry, I'm just going to repeat the seminar schedule, and then I'm going to reach out to our North Country base out there because we will be up there in Queensbury for seminars in February. But this coming week on Tuesday, 2 p.m., we're going to be at the Staybridge Suites right next to Macy's on 39 Wolf Road. That's next to Colony Center Mall. Wednesday, January 16th at 2 p.m., Glenn Sanders Mansion, 1 Glen Avenue in Scotia. That's Wednesday the 16th at 2. Following day, this coming Thursday at 10, we're going to be next to SUNY, at SUNY Albany, that is, Courtyard by Marriott, 1455 Washington Avenue.
It's on the Washington Avenue side of SUNY, not the Western Avenue side.
And then at 2 p.m., we'll be in Clifton Park, 620 Plank Road, Hampton Inn. Again, our most general seminar, I suppose, where we go through kind of everything, usually an hour and change, a great opportunity to get some more questions answered and not just hear a 30-second
right.
answer on the radio, but really hear an hour. We do, if I do say so myself, I think we do a great job of making some very difficult subject matter and dense subject matter be very easy and understandable. We've all done it long enough, and we know we've been on the other side. We've been sitting in chairs mm-hmm. listening to this stuff, and we know how difficult it could be. If you'd like a seat at one of those seminars, you can email us at info@herzoglaw.com. You can call us at 518-465-7581. You can go to our website and click on the seminar tab and then click register. And this all goes the same for if you wanted to come in for a consultation, an hour free consult with any of us in any of our offices, pretty much at any time. We make ourselves available. It's free, 100%. There's no better deal going because of the information you're going to get specific to your fact pattern.
And we don't speak lawyer. We speak English.
We do speak English. Absolutely.
Well, that's a hard thing, you know, because I mean, picking a lawyer, deciding who a lawyer is, a little different than some other types of things because it's largely based on trust. The relationship is largely based on trust because many of these things that we talk about are in fact complicated concepts, and they are complicated things to set up and deliver. And we do explain them in ways that make them sound simple, but in fact they're not as simple as they sound in many instances. So a lot of the relationship really has to do with trust and confidence, and that's what we try to obviously instill in our clients. That we are capable, competent attorneys, and you know, beyond that, it's a matter of individual choice.
Well, you know, if you go to the dentist and they say you need a root canal or you have a cavity, they could show you that fuzzy area on this X-ray and say, well, that's what the cavity is, or right. And if you go to an orthopedist, they'll say, well, here's where the hairline fractures. You could see it right there. When you meet with us and we say, well, look, you got a plan for the future. Well,
and
that's, can you show me on a where
show me
exactly?
The thing and we're going to say, okay, doc, so I need a knee replacement. How many of these have you done? And he said, oh, well, I got out of medical school last summer. I've done two. Yeah. You want somebody who's done 100 or 1,000 of them, yeah. Right? And we have a lot of experience. We this law firm, the Herzog Law Firm started in Albany 70 years ago when Jake Herzog came back from World War II. He was a major in the Army and stayed in the New York State National Guard and was actually at one point the adjutant general of the New York State National Guard and retired as a brigadier general.
I think
he was a one-star general.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Fascinating guy. And He went to college with Jimmy Stewart, the actor. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Stewart and Jake were in the same class at Princeton. I think it was 1932. And Jimmy Stewart went into the war also, but they would have been the same age. And he was a one-star. He was a brigadier general also. I think he was a pilot in the Air Force or something that. And I think stayed in touch for a while. Yeah.
So the firm's been. At what point did it go a little more into trust and estates?
We always had a trust and estates. Jake had a large estate practice, but in the late '80s, early '90s, the firm was in many ways largely it was a corporate. We'd represent a lot of banks. We did a lot of mergers and acquisitions, corporate transactions, asset sales, stock sales, commercial transactions, loans, and things, and then. In the late 80s, early 90s, we really with Shalom Kaplowitz developed a practice. What was typically a more high-end, high-net-worth estate planning practice into really, you know, doing basic estate planning and asset protection planning for average middle-class people. You know, most of our clients are just average middle-class people. Yeah, we have some wealthy clients, but, you know, most of them aren't. They're just either got a house, they got a few hundred thousand dollars or maybe even $1 million. They got some life insurance, some IRAs and stuff, and they need help figuring out how to do those things, and so that's what we do.
Well, they all have money worth saving and protecting, and they all have a plan for what they want to do with their money.
Well, I think what's happened in the last 5 to 10 years is people used to come into our office, they're all worried about, oh, I don't want to give the government any money when I die. Well, that's estate taxes. That's gone away. For the, you know, 99.44% of the population don't pay estate taxes anymore. I forget how many estate tax returns were filed last year, but it wasn't very many. It was like 1,500 in the entire nation. It was that were taxable. So, but what's happened is the cost of long-term care, because of the aging population in this country, the cost of long-term care is bankrupting families at the cost of, you know, $5,000-$8,000 for assisted living, and $12,000-$15,000 for a nursing home on a monthly basis. You can blow through. I mean, 2 years of private pay in a nursing home will cost a family $350,000.
Well, Harry, let me ask you, can you give me some free legal advice? Do you mind?
Sure.
Okay. So this is absolutely true. This is my family is dealing with this now, and what like everyone deals with this. You have dealt with long term care issues in your family. Everyone, this is unavoidable.
I have in the past with my family, and I am currently with my my wife's family. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So my mom helps take care of my great aunt. My great aunt is a widow, and she doesn't have any children. So the closest thing to a child is my mom and my mom's other first cousin.
She's a niece, yeah.
Yeah, niece. And so for her aunt, for forever, really, she's helped. And most recently, for the last 3 or 4 years, my great aunt has been at an Atria facility in Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's expensive.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
They're
it's
nice.
Expensive.
I mean,
it's
really,
it's in Great Neck, Long Island, if you've ever been
three,
there.
There's three or four up here.
Yeah.
You know. They're lovely facilities. Really are. If you can't live at home anymore, that'd be my first choice.
So just about every time my my mom and I are together or major holiday or something like that, she'll say to me, hey, come here a second. And she'll say, you know, I did the math and we have about 2 years worth of money left mm-hmm. to pay for this place.
Right.
We have a year and 10 months now and so on and so forth. And I've said to her, look, you know, it's fitting her. So you need to find a place that's nice, but not as expensive. There's great places up here. You may want to bring her upstate. You, at some point when, you know, her concern is that when the money runs out, she wants somewhere that my great aunt can still stay at.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's great. Atria isn't going to be that place, though, unless they decide to take Medicaid to pay for her stay. Because
correct.
When she has no more money, she has no more money. So, you know, what my mom is looking for now, and there's places up here, for sure, and places down in Kingston, a place where my great aunt can slowly progress. So as her mental capabilities go down, when she actually does need a nursing home, it's kind of on the same campus. Mm-hmm. And when the money does run out and they shift over to Medicaid, it's on the same campus. And I wonder if I was a client saying, this is what I'm dealing with. Look, I got a ticking time bomb here because I know that at some point, in late 2020, maybe early 2021, there's no more money. And I want someone to be comfortable, but the reality is money's a thing, right? So how would you...
Well, you have to, first of all, you have to start planning this before the money runs out, which
yep.
sounds like that's what your family's doing, and obviously, because I'm sure they're talking to you about this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, downstate in Long Island is the highest region. I mean, for Medicaid for reimbursement rates, the monthly income penalty... In the Albany area is about a little over 11,000 a month. In Long Island, it's 16,000.
Yeah.
That's supposed to represent the average cost of a nursing home. Well, in Albany, it ain't 11, it's more like 15. And in Long Island, I'm pretty sure it's not 16, it's more like 20 or 22.
Yeah, I think you know. In Suffolk County, there's parts down there where it's, you know, 18, 19, 20.
It has to be upwards of $20,000 a month. I mean, it's astonishing. So, and I'm sure assisted living is comparably more expensive here. In assisted living places, depends, but now, depends what level of care you need, too.
Yeah.
Each assisted living facility has maybe 4 or 5 different levels of care. The highest and the most expensive level are the people who have mid to late stage dementia, Alzheimer's, memory care units. That's the, if you just need help, you need meals, you need some transportation services, and you don't need a lot, you can get a room that's maybe, you know, $4,000 to $5,000 a month, as opposed to $7,000 to $8,000 a month if you're in a memory care unit. Now, the other thing is, and I don't know about Long Island, but up here there are a handful of assisted living facilities. One in the Albany area now, and I'm not sure if it's even open yet, but it will be opening this year, which does in fact take Medicaid, has Medicaid beds, so you could transition her up to Albany into an assisted living facility that would accept Medicaid and get her eligible yeah. in the next 12 to 18 months before she completely runs out of money.
Yeah.
I mean, that might keep her out of a nursing home for another year or two or three, and then at some point, depending upon how her, you know, her geriatric, you know,
yeah.
progresses, she may have to transition there.
Now, it's not the first time I've ever brought up my great aunt And I do oftentimes on at seminars and consults as well, because sorry to give everyone the family history, right? But when my dad's dad had dementia in a nursing home 9 years, and my mm-hmm. parents went through everything our clients do, the crisis plan, private paying, all that stuff.
All right.
I remember when they called me and said, hey, you should start taking some of these classes in law school, because I was in law school at the time.
Uh-huh.
My mom's dad, similar story, except we never got to 5 years. We did a life estate deed and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But for my great aunt,
back then that was a popular way to do it 15, 20 years ago. Yeah.
So for my great aunt, my mom knew her stuff, and she said, no, I got it. We're going to move your money. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And my great aunt said, no. And my mom said, no, we're going to do this. It's going to be fine. And she said, no. And my mom called me. I still remember this phone call. She thinks I don't remember anything. I remember this. And she said that your great aunt won't listen to me. And I told her, we can lose all of your money if we don't protect it. And she said, that's okay.
She didn't care, did she?
Yeah.
I can tell she's unmarried and childless.
I said, Mom, there's your typical answer.
That is a typical view of folks who are unmarried and childless for the most part.
It may be.
What it's there for when it's all gone.
It may be.
But
for
she
her,
didn't
it is.
Realize what she didn't realize is that it was also important that she preserve it for herself.
That's a different story.
Okay, so that it would be available for the rest of her life, and if she'd done some planning way back when,
it could have helped.
It might be different. That's all. But you know.
But I'm sorry, Harry. The point is, the best we can do is we educate you on the pros and cons and what happens and the ramifications, and then you make an informed decision, and that's the answer. Whatever it is, that's the right answer, as long as it was one that you thought about and you got all the right info.
You got the right info, and you know, our clients do not always take our advice.
No.
You know, it's just like a doctor prescribes medicine, and the person doesn't take it, all right? For whatever reason. They don't always take her advice.
Ben, I don't know why he's looking at me when he says that.
I'm not quite sure either.
I don't know either. No. Maybe it's because we're standing across each other.
You know, I said, I had a client this week who sent me a piece of paper in connection with their mother. What happened is the mother has given $50,000 to one of her three sons, okay? And the son to whom it was given says, okay, I agree that it's going to be taken out of my share with my other two brothers.
Hold on. This is where I say, what can possibly go wrong?
What can possibly go wrong here? So I emailed the client. I said, you know, we really need to put a provision in your mother's estate plan that treats this. Is this called an advancement against your inheritance? And she is the one who needs to direct that it be deducted, you know. And while that's all very nice, loosey-goosey, memory tends to fade when it comes to paying it back. Nope, they weren't interested in that. So, you know, I put the thing in the file, you know, whatever. You can only do what you can do.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, what's on the document, the words in the document is what matters. And we do those equalization clauses all the time, and it's, you know, there's a... That's where the legalese kind of comes in, because people say, well, this is what we agreed on. Okay, well, did you write it down? Is it notarized? Is it in the right form? Is it something admissible in evidence, what have you?
It's whatever it is, but I don't know that you could force that distribution adjustment as part of the estate, because it's not part of the estate. The document says everybody gets an equal share.
Right.
Okay? And so the executor, wait a minute, I'm supposed to get an equal share.
Yeah.
The brothers are probably relegated to some action for breach of contract or something against their brother. I don't know. But you got to do it right. That's all.
Well, you know, all most law, I guess, and all contract law and you know, divorce law and estate plan, it's all based on what happens if people don't agree, right?
If everyone agrees, we never have a problem.
Yeah, okay. we're out of business
if
everyone agrees all the time. Yeah. But if you don't, you know, that's what you go back to, you know, in a divorce, when one party's negotiating with another on what they're entitled to, it's based on what the law has said they're entitled to. And then they go off of that. And if I went to court and if a judge looked at all the evidence, I would have gotten X. So I'm okay taking Y. You should be thankful.
And speaking of divorce, just for a moment.
No.
The richest guy on earth. The richest guy on earth announced this week that he's getting
looking
divorced.
At me again, Ben. I don't know. He's keeps
you
looking
see
at
that,
me.
Ben? Huh? Jeff Bezos.
I did. It's not me.
Reputedly has a net worth of $140 billion.
Yeah.
And lives in the state of Washington, which, like California, is a community property state, where everything's kind of 50-50.
Yeah.
Now, apart from the whatever happens to men of that age, 25, he's been married to his wife for 25 years. They have 4 children, and now he's getting divorced. Apparently,
yeah,
having a relate with the Fox News, somebody, a news broadcaster in L.A. Whatever, that's not the point. But the point is, when he got married 25 years ago, he didn't have $140 billion. I don't know what he had, but he has no prenuptial agreement with his wife.
Yeah, I mean, they're both going to be all right, I think.
Oh,
I think
I'm not worried about that. The point is, yeah. In fact, very wealthy people like that, it probably almost doesn't even matter. But average people, prenups are much more common these days. It's not a bad idea in second marriages, given the failure rate of marriages, okay,
yeah.
Which is close to 50%, and the failure rate of second marriages is even higher than first marriages, so... You know, we're talking about protecting assets. Nursing home expenses is not the only way you need to protect assets if you're in a second or third or marriage. And it's really part of an estate plan in a way.
Absolutely.
In addition to, because most of these people have children from previous relationships and previous marriages. And we need to focus on that as an overall comprehensive plan.
Well, Harry, I'll tell you where divorces come in a lot. You meet with a couple, and they have 3 kids, and you could tell when you're talking about how are the kids doing? Oh, well, my son's doing all right. My other daughter's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't mention your oldest daughter. What's going on? You know, that type of thing. Or they'll ask, like, so if, God forbid, one of the kids predeceased us, it doesn't go to their spouse, right? And we're like...
Not normally, no.
Right. And so that's where issues can come in. If you have a provision in your documents that say, if God forbid something happens to my kids, I want it to go to their kids, my grandkids, you should have a provision on who's responsible for that money, who's in charge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there going to be a trustee? And most likely, people won't have their son-in-law or their daughter-in-law be the trustee. They'll have
it's
one of their other kids.
Because they don't, for the most part, they
yeah.
don't.
They'll
even though
kids.
The mother or the father... would be perfectly capable of being, and they like it. It's not that they even don't,
yeah.
that they don't like the person, but most 90% of people would prefer to have one of their other children, you know, like your aunt, manage the money for her niece or nephew, rather than the surviving parent.
Blood in charge of blood. It happens all the time. And then
it's human nature.
Yeah,
it's human nature.
I have a client where their trustee is their son-in-law,
mm-hmm.
and that's fine too. Whatever you're comfortable with. But it's funny how it works, because there's that thought, even if, you know, well, I'm treating the kids differently financially or one's in a different place in life. When it comes to decision making and who's in charge of their grandkids, they revert to having it be their own kids. It's very interesting.
All right. Definitely.
We do have time for me to go through our seminar schedule real quick here. So we do have seminars this coming week. And as I mentioned, the topic's going to be... our most general estate and Medicaid planning. And so this coming Tuesday at 2 p.m., we're going to be at the Staber Suites next to Macy's at the Colony Center Mall. I can't find my website for a second here. Harry, where are we on Wednesday at 2 p.m.? I believe we're going to be...
Wednesday, we're Glenn Sanders. January 16th, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Glenn Sanders, right across the bridge, you know, from... Crossing the Jumping Jacks in Scotia. On the 17th at 10 a.m., we're at the Courtyard by Marriott out on Washington Avenue, right across from the main entrance to SUNY. And then the same afternoon, the same day, the 17th at 2 in the afternoon, we're going to be up in Clifton Park at the Hampton Inn, which is on Plank Road, just off of exit 9 there. And later in a couple of weeks, there'll be a seminar for our Kingston area listeners and viewers at the Courtyard by Marriott, which is up there on It's up on the hill by the Hudson Valley Mall, right?
Yeah, and if you're in Glens Falls and you're saying, I don't feel like driving to Clifton Park, first of all, you can always schedule a consult in our Saratoga office. And in February, we do...
On Valentine's Day, February 14th, we're going to be doing a 2 o'clock seminar at the Queensberry Hotel up in Glens Falls.
Harry, I am actually doing that. It's like you the are. Third straight time on Valentine's Day I'm in Queensberry.
I hear that's a nice, that they redid that place. It's really nice.
Beautiful.
Now, huh?
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
A lot of people show up on Valentine's Day. It doesn't seem like the most romantic thing, Ben.
Actually, if you take care of your loved one, it is romantic. So
maybe we'll have
if you think about
like
it.
This. Maybe we can arrange to have heart-shaped cookies or something, huh?
Their food is awesome.
They have
up there.
Fantastic, fantastic cookies.
And that helps out our North Country listeners at 1410 AM and 96.9 FM.
Absolutely.
They're listening up there. They can show up. Be great.
So if you're listening and you do want to come to one of these seminars, you can call our office 518-465-7581 or email us at info@herzoglaw.com. You can go to our website, www.herzoglaw.com, and click on the seminar tab and click register. We'd love to have you there. I really think it's the next logical step for most people. You catch us on the radio. Okay, it sounds kind of interesting. You go to a free seminar. You get some information. It's accurate. A lot of times it's entertaining. Light refreshments are served. We joke about that, but they're darn good cookies.
We try to keep it light. I mean, this is serious stuff. You know, yeah. It's not. And this is sort of the reason that people... The reason that people procrastinate about estate planning is because it's kind of depressing stuff to think about. And, you know, we're talking about getting old, getting sick, going into nursing homes, dying, and, you know, distributing out money. And, you know, it's not the most pleasant thing to focus on. The great news is that once you focus on it and you get a plan in place, then it's done. You've got to revisit it periodically.
Yeah, but guess what? It's going to happen. It's just going to happen. Deal with it in a good way.
Take care. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.